All right, we're studying. Yesterday we finished looking at Sodom. Let's go to, back to Luke 17. I mean, not Sodom, but at the days of Noah. So start in verse 28, Luke 17. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted and builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So we're going to take a look at Sodom. And to look at Sodom, you have to look at Gomorrah. They were sister cities. At the time of Abraham, the first part of Abraham's life, the Jordan River ran all the way from the mountains of Lebanon all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba, which is in, it's in Saudi Arabia now, yeah. Now, the whole thing was just a verdant valley. It was described by some as it was as rich and beautiful as the Garden of Eden. This verdant valley from all the way down, what's now just massive desert. And when Sodom was destroyed, Sodom and Gomorrah, it damned, not damned like curse, but damned like building a dam, it damned the Jordan River. So the Jordan River then stopped at what is now the Dead Sea. And everything below it, where Sodom and Gomorrah were, is just dry, empty wasteland desert. Because the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah created this dam that stopped the flow of this, of the Jordan River. Jordan River, I mean, the Dead Sea is the lowest place on the face of the earth. It says, in terms of the way hell is described as below, it's the closest place to hell on the face of the earth.
Dead Sea?
Huh? The Dead Sea.
How many feet below sea level?
What?
How many feet below sea level is it? How many feet below sea level is it?
Oh, well, I don't remember. Not that much, but it's quite a bit. All right, so let's look at, we're going to look at this Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. Go to Genesis 19. Actually, go to Genesis 18. Now, Lot was, who was Lot?
Besides Abraham's brother.
Right, he's Abraham's nephew. And Abraham, the flocks, it says in the scriptures, the cattle and sheep and whatever were mixed in the both Abraham and Lot's fields or herds, and so they decided they needed to split. And Abraham gave Lot the choice, and he chose this verdant valley as his inheritance, which is all of the place watered by the Jordan River. And Lot and Abraham took this dry area, the relatively arid mountain land, that for his flock. So he gave. The point of it is, Lot chose according to the seeing of his eyes, and he chose this incredible, what everybody would choose. And Abraham took without any complaint what would be seeming to be the worst part of the deal. And so, in chapter 18, the first part of it, remember the three angels visit Abraham, and it was on Passover, and he prepared the Passover meal for them. And then, and this point is when let's read it a little bit here. In verse 5, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes.
Started in 6 instead of 5.
Pardon?
You started in 6. You said 5. Started in 6. People were confused.
Oh, okay. We're in 6. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man and gave it unto Ishmael. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And they stood by them under the tree and they did eat. Now this is the next few verses are when Sarah is promised a son. Abraham is about 99 years old, and Sarah is not much younger. And their reproductive organs had sort of dried up. This is when Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah, in verse 10, and Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. Now, from then on,
I don't get it. Who cares if she laughed?
Because she laughed in derision. The idea that she was going to have a son, which his angel had promised, and she said she laughed at deriding the word of the angel.
Yeah, I guess derision is a key part, but just to laugh, it's ridiculous.
No, she laughed in derision.
Yeah.
That's what the word means. I don't remember it.
That makes sense.
So now, the three men, they finished the meal, the Passover, and then they proceeded on to visit with Lot. Now, and the three, where are we? Well, let's just read it. We've got time. Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them and to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their face from thence and went toward Sodom, and Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there will be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy not? Wilt also destroy not and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous shall be as the wicked, and that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? This took some guts for Abraham to talk to God this way. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous men within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50. Will I destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there will be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And then he said, O Lord, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and will I speak yet, but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as 7, as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. Now, that 10 becomes critical in the structure, because that's the basis. The 10 is the basis of each Seder. There had to be at least 10, but not more than 20 men at rest for there to be a Seder. But because in the New Testament there's neither male nor female, then there can be 10, both male and female. And then if there's more than 10, more than 20, then they move to they start a new Seder. But 10 is the minimum for many things. It was the minimum for Bible study. You had to have a minion. And so, anyway, this is an important 10. All right.
It seems a little, it seems odd, just so many times he asked him. But,
it was negotiated.
Now it's down to 2 or more.
Huh?
Now it's down to 2 or more.
No, he stopped at 10.
No, but now it's 2 or more. 2 or more gathered in my name.
Then he's in the midst. Doesn't say you have a study. The 10 to 20 remains the same, or it did in the first century. Still had to have a minion, both Jew and Christian. Remember, there was no building called the church. The largest church was 20 people. There had to be 120, and then they could start a new community. That's the reason there was 120 that were there on Pentecost. So anyway, these are just sort of asides. Then the two angels visit Lot, and the wickedness of Sodom became apparent. That's starting in chapter 19, verse 4. But before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the people, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are thy men, or the men which came to thee in this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do to them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow come in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, and Lot, even Lot, and the same, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find a door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou any here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and who whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. So now all hell's about to break loose. Now why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? The teaching now is because of homosexuality. But let's go to Ezekiel 16 and see what God says about Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, chapter 16, verse. What God is doing through the first part of chapter 16. Well, actually, for a whole bunch of last few chapters, he's describing the sin and the unrighteousness of Jerusalem and of the Jews and of all the area round about. And then in let's start in verse 43. No, we have to start in 35. I'm sorry. Pete, you need to start using an eraser mate for my screw-ups. Wherefore, O harlot, he's talking to Jerusalem. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them. And they will see that they will see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as a woman that break wedlock, as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in the fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee unto their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. And they shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with the swords, with their swords. And they shall burn thine houses with fire, and execute judgment upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward these to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. Thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, every one that useth proverbs shall use the proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loathed her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet thou hast not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as it if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. Now, you can't read this as history and have it any meaning. You have to read it and see that it's talking to you. Everything we've just read is taught to us. Can everybody understand that a little bit? And the things, and you don't even know you're doing the thing. You don't know you're playing the harlot when you go somewhere other than God for your sustenance. You understand what I'm saying? This is not a light matter. This isn't reading history, what happened to Sodom. This is reading to us that we might repent deeper. All right, now so let's see what really happened to Sodom. Verse 48. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister hath not done, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hands of the poor and needy. They were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Now, there's much written in this Talmud about that scripture, because everybody, when you read or hear Sodom and Gomorrah, you think of it as homosexuality as the reason they were destroyed. But the Talmud is full of passages that say she was destroyed because she failed to meet the needs of the needy. She failed to meet the needs of the poor. Now, and this one phrase where it says, the abomination that they committed. What?
Oh, I was just thinking there's four or five things there. It wasn't just...
No, I know, but the...
So, that's
But it's one of the major ones.
I
saying.
Right, so that's what I'm...
Well, the reason I'm going here is because of this last word. I'm just going to read a portion.
All right, go ahead.
The attributes of Sodom are described in Ezekiel 16. Pride, fullness of bread, and idleness, neither does she strengthen the hand of the poor. Whenever the church abandons the poor, she turns into Sodom and invokes God's wrath. That's why Jesus said, "The poor you will always have with you." Without a place to give, we would be sucked into the hole of self-seeking. Sodom was the most beautiful of cities, populated by successful people, the best of the best. That's why Lot chose to live there. It could have been any gated community in America's suburbs. It probably had a great school system. It offered the most promising future for their children. It was safe. In Sodom, what is mine, and what is yours." One poignant Talmud story captures the failure of political solutions to poverty with surprising clarity. Charity was forbidden in Sodom because they believed that it encouraged the proliferation of beggars. One day a beggar entered Sodom and approached the shopkeeper. He gave the beggar a small bar of gold, but first inscribed his name on it. The next person did the same, but no one would sell the beggar any food. They only gave him more gold bars inscribed with their names. The beggar finally died, loaded down with a bag of gold he couldn't use. When his death became known, each Sodomite retrieved his own gold bar from the beggar's bag. In that way, they experienced, quote, "the joy of giving without the cost." The poor don't need our money. They need us to share our lives with them, our time, our homes, our skills, and energies. Instead, we give them money that buys nothing of real value. Another story especially speaks to those of us who are tempted to deal with the homeless and the needy as clients of a professional charitable organization. Every visitor who came to Sodom was thrown into bed. If he was tall, they put him on a small bed and hacked off his protruding feet. If he was short, they put him on a big bed and stretched his limbs from head to feet until his dismembered body filled it up. The temptation is to judge the needy, try to fix them, force them into a mold, constrain them with superfluous rules, or make them fit the agenda we planned for them. But that is the way of Sodom. Taken to the extreme, it leads to ethnic cleansing and a holocaust for those who don't meet our standards. The Talmud says the final outrage that caused God to cry was when a young girl was caught giving bread to a hungry beggar. She was tried and found guilty, stripped naked, daubed with honey, and hung on a parapet of the city where the bees consumed her and cried, and her cry reached up to heaven, and God then determined to destroy Sodom and its inhabitants. Although the people of Sodom were guilty of all the sins, their fate was sealed against them because they refused to give alms to the poor. If Abraham had been able to find just 10 righteous men, Sodom would have been spared. Repentance is possible even in the cities of wickedness where we dwell. But the genuineness of our faith is determined by how we respond to those in need. Now, the question was asked, who was a Sodomite? And they've got an interesting answer. The one who says, "What is mine, and what is yours," this one is the average person. The one who says, "What is yours, and what is mine," this is the simpleton. The one who says, "What is yours, and what is yours," this is the saint. "What is mine is yours, and what is yours," this is the saintly type of person. But one who says, "What is mine, and what is yours," this is the wicked. "What is mine, and what is mine," this is the wicked person. But incredibly, one rabbi offers opinion regarding the first example of the average man. The first example was, the one who says, "What is mine, and what is and we're yours," this one is a Sodomite. What is mine, and what is yours. Noah's site. This one is the Sodomite.
Yeah, the Roman Empire, or at least parts of it, very, very similar to Sodom.
So is Dallas. So are we. So, according to the Talmud, Sodom wasn't destroyed. It was destroyed. What got the attention of God was that young girl that had given bread to the hungry. She was found guilty. Now just think of the politics. You hear it every day in every city. Trying to make a place where it makes some other place for the homeless. Like some put the poor some other place. Let's get the government to fix the poor. The first century church, it says in the Didache, they gave 40% of the income from the church, and they didn't to collect tithes. It was just the generosity of the believers. 40% of what was taken in was given to meet the poor, needs of the poor in their community. 40%. There were no paid clergy. There was no buildings. Can you see that we may have created Christian Sodom? We'll look at Sodom some more tomorrow. Anybody have any other response? Gary, you're musing again.
I'm just wondering what you're meaning. Are you saying, have we created a Christian Sodom? Talking about us? This community?
I'm talking about the first, the Christian community at large, and then I'm asking us, have we created a Christian Sodom? We didn't for a long time. We took poor into our houses. When we did, and without any criteria. If they showed up and we had a place, took them in. No matter what their behavior was, which it was interesting because we certainly had a lot of screw-ups.
We did. You gotta say, didn't we help?
That's not our business. Our business is to give. Whether it helps or not is God's business.
I certainly took them off the street when they needed to be off the street.
Cameron.
Ronnie.
Who's the guy?
Eddie.
Jones. Well, many others. The point of it isn't that we help them. That's not our business. Our business is to meet the need as it comes to us. All right. Anybody else have any response? John?
No.
Agree?
Yeah.
Neil Dunn?
Nope.
I pronounced your name right.
Neil.
You agree? Pete?
I agree.
Gary?
With what?
Whatever I said, this all this we just talked about.
Yeah, I agree. Just being contrary.
Huh?
I'm just being contrary.
No. Take it, big guy.